Two lines on the bottom of page Kuf Vav. Yesterday we were learning about Yaakov and Rabbeinu HaKadosh and Shimon and Levi, how they started off in a similar place, but then they ended up in a very different place. And a big part of Levi's success is captured by a couple of words, the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu says about Shevet Levi, Ki shamru imrasecha uvrischa yinsoru. They guard the bris. Rashi says they perform bris milah even in circumstances. And because of that, you see, Shevet Levi becomes God's Shevet. Then we spoke about Yaakov Avinu lo meis. We spoke about Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rebbe, the Kalach of Kedusha Sabris, to give life and to overcome forgetfulness and to bring a person to true connection. Okay, so there are other tzaddikim also who fall into this category, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Two lines from the bottom on page Kuf Vav. Eliyahu HaNavi Shechai La'olam. Eliyahu HaNavi is referred to as the Malach HaBris. For a very simple reason. For a person who has chiyus, a person who has infinite life, is a mekusher to bris. That's why at a bris milah, we invite Eliyahu Malach. V'yadua shesviras hayesod nikra chai almin. Svira of yesod, corresponding to Yosef HaTzadik, is called the one that gives life to the world. If you understand the ten spheros, specifically, we have Chesed, Gevura, Teferas, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and those six are a unit. Chesed on the right, Gevura on the left, Teferas in the middle, Netzach on the right, in the middle, and so to speak, all of those gather in Yesod. And then Yesod is Mashpia to Malchus. So in other words, Yesod, in many ways, corresponding to Bris Milah, the same Mashpia Hizera into a woman, and she, the feminine Malchus, is on the receiving end. Baby is able to be formed over the course of 9 months within the woman. So too, Yesod is the one that gives that initial life, and therefore Yesod is referred to in the Svarim as Chai or Chai Almin, as the one that gives Malchus to the lowest of the spheres. Yes? Let's hear.
I was wondering, if someone has come to a place where they, like, let's say, Tzaddikim have perfected those midos before Yisod, and all trickles down to Yisod, when someone is Mashpia Malchus, and they're, bringing down a neshama into the world, is that the neshama, the fact that the person has perfected everything else?
Right? Presumably, there's a lot of hachana that precedes the moment of Yesod being mashpia to Malchus. Right? Maybe that's the secret of what the Gemara says, that first Svarim tell us that the neshama of a child will be greatly impacted and affected by the intentions of the parents during their moments of intimacy, but also the stages prior to that. Rota says that even a sicha kala, even a light conversation between a husband and wife prior to an act of intimacy is also something that has to be done in a thoughtful way. So heroes that precede Yesod also are going to, depending on their place and their preparation, will impact Yesod's hashba into Malchus. Okay, but the point he wants to make very simply, since his point is that Yesod, which corresponds in the body to Bris Milah, gives life to the world. And it's true in a global spiritual sense, in a lamalim and a teva beyond this world type of sense, that a person who has shmiras habris is going to be a person who's just more alive, in the truest sense of the word. His Yiddishkeit will be more alive. Like I told you yesterday, it impacts his Shabbos, it impacts his Amunah, it impacts his relationship with Baal Peh. V'zeh sod ha'nemar etzel Yosef HaTzadik, turn to the top of the next page. This is the secret of what we find by Yosef HaTzadik, od Yosef Chai. Od Yosef Chai. Yosef is still alive. Again, Yosef is Yesod. Od being Gematria. Yesod. So Od Yosef Chai is Meramis to this whole inyan. Again, he says it's a Sod, so a secret means we're not necessarily expected to. The fact that Yosef, who corresponds to Tzadik, Kedusha Sabris, Yesod, is Yosef is able to survive very difficult situations because he's a Shomer HaBris. V'chein ki od chachai, k'mavur b'zor, shenishar b'tokef k'dushasa, that Yosef maintained full Yosef chai. Ki od chachai. U'v'tikunem u'v'ginda, man dinotter b'smila dihu chois madile. That because of this, man dinotir brismila, one who guards, man, like man da'amar, in the Gemara, man dehu, man dinotir brismila, one who guards his brismila, di'ihu chosma dilei, which is the chosem, which is the seal. All you need to do is open the Sefer Achinuch to the second mitzvah. And simply, that the reason for brismila is that every one of us wears, etched into our flesh, the stamp, the seal of the king. The Torah is very against tattoo, because the Torah doesn't want us to mark our body in any other way other than the bris milah, which is the ultimate marking that I'm a yid. And the more a person is shomer the bris, he displays, so to speak, the seal of the king as being one who supports the king. And therefore, when a person guards the bris and has the seal upon him, Zaz maves minei diihu satan. He drives away the satan. He drives away death, because the satan and the malach maves are one and the same. That's a gemara in Bava Basra. That the satan and the malach maves and the yitzhara, it's playing different roles, wearing different costumes. V'lo yiskariv lagabei, and he will not draw close to him. V'lo yamus al yadei, and he will not die by his hands. There's such a thing as a death not by way of the Malach HaMaves, and a person who has the highest level of Shmiras HaBris is ochet to such a thing. V'ayin v'lukutim moran tzimin reish membeiz, sham machan rabbeinu, as heder ha-kedusha avi avos ha-tumat meis. Rabbi Nachman refers to in Lukutim moran as heder ha-ayin dalet reish. Heder means what?
Lacking.
Lacking kedusha, lost, or lacking kedusha, is the avi avos hatuma, meaning a person who is not sanctifying these realms is involved in the greatest tuma. And the same way that in a different hux, the greatest tuma is tumas meis, so this is also a tumas meis. That's what Rabbi Nachman is saying. This is also called tumas meis. The opposite of Yaakov Avinu is chai. The opposite of Yosef Atzadik is chai. The opposite of Eliyahu forever. The opposite of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, who came back to this world after he died to make kiddush for his family, like we learned yesterday from the Gemara in Ksuvos. And therefore, the more a person is mekusher to Kedusha, the more alive he is. The more then avi avos ha-tumah, tumas meis. V'zeh ikara de yitzra bivusa. This is the ikar, this is the main yitzra bisha, the main yitzra hara. And this is ikara de misa. And this is the main tumah of the world. As Unkelis throughout the Chumash translates Tameh, using that phrase, Misavusa. V'ikar, underline this line, V'ikar b'yasolam haze hulanatzeach es hara haze. And the primary goal of a person in this world is to conquer this ra, is to defeat this taiva. Unbelievable. K'muva mirabeinu v'zeh hashar la'Hashem. As we find in the writings of Rabbi Nachman, if you think about it, again, by definition, it's kamat impossible for a person to be engaged in an act of intimacy without having any physical pleasure. And therefore, specifically the creation of our bodies came about through taiva. Which means in a certain sense, if that's the origin of our birth, physically that's how we're created, so then it's going to be about perfecting in our lifetime that taiva. That's where it all began. That's where we come from. That's the origin of our existence. And that's the main battle in this world. The Gemara, at the very end, the Gemara in Makos says that there were different tzaddikim throughout the generations who were trying to give Klal Yisrael a focus as to what mitzvah focus, Nevi'im and great tzaddikim throughout the generations. And the Gemara says it got to a point where Habakkuk came along and said, I'm going to summarize the entirety of the Torah. And that, of course, is Habakkuk's famous statement, V'tzadik ve'emunaso yichya. His faith, which we typically understand to mean that, sof kol sof, the bottom line is, Do you have emuna? Do you believe in Torah? Do you not believe in Torah? Do you believe in Hashem? Or do you not believe in Hashem? V'tzadik v'emunaso yechya. But I've told some of you in the past, he's really saying two things. It's two things which are one. V'tzadik v'emunaso yechya. Tzadik, again, is this Indian that we're talking about. You're being alive. V'tzadik v'emunaso yechya. Right? That a tzadik lives by his emuna. In other words, a person who has Shmir HaSabris, a person who's connected, and again, if you want to hear a lot more about this, or if Weinberger's been giving Shirim, Chaburas, but to the degree that a person is a tzaddik, to the degree that a person is in control of his, able to maintain his amunah, and then yechya, and then he'll be truly alive. And to the degree that a person is not connected to the world of tzaddik, right, then his amunah will be damaged, and by definition, he's not going to survive, so to speak, spiritually. In the, I mentioned yesterday the Hayom Yom from the Lubavitch Rebbe. So in the Hayom Yom, one of the entries, it says the following. Listen to this. Usually when he's quoting from when Rav Menachem Mendel Schneerson, the seventh Lubavitch Rebbe, is quoting someone, he's quoting his father-in-law, which was the sixth Lubavitch Rebbe. So that means usually Lubavitch Rebbe. So, for example, this piece that begins, Adoni Avi Mori Virabi, my father said, the sixth Lubavitch Rebbe quoting his father, the fifth Lubavitch Rebbe. So, in other words, the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Rebbe of Lubavitch, said the following in one of his ma'amarim. Chasidim HaKodmin Osu Haskem Benam. The early Chasidim made a firm resolve, a commitment. Shekol Davar HaMutar. That even things which are permitted, shlo eiza ratzon vechemdas halev, something which is mutter, but you're craving it, you have a strong taiva for it, lo yaseno, not going to do it. The early tzaddikim decided that if something is mutter, even though it's mutter, but if I have too much of a taiva for it, I'm going to avoid it. Val yedeze nasa shviras hataiva. And in such a way, they use this as a way of breaking. There's a famous Hasidish story that goes as follows. Munkus, who was one of the early Talmidim of the Baal Tanya, one time they were sitting by a Febrengen. Shmuel Munkus and other Hasidim of the Baal Tanya were sitting there Febrengen together. And someone brought to the lung, which was considered a very chashiv delicacy. You know? In honor of this gathering of great Jews, Febrengen together, someone brought out a roasted lung. And if Shmuel picked up the dish, with the roasted lung, he's dancing with this. He's dancing, and everyone's like, wow, this is a strange thing. And then he runs. Now, people were very upset. It was a very expensive dish. It was a special treat for this occasion, whatever the occasion was that they were for bringing. I don't know. So we have tainas against you. So he said to them, let me tell you. And as he's about to tell them why he did that, someone comes out of the kitchen and says, hold on, there's a shayla on the lung. They said, Rav Shmuel already threw it in the garbage. They said, Rav Shmuel, how did you know? So Shmuel says, I'll tell you. He said, the first time I went for Yechidus by the Alter Rebbe, I felt that if I'm going to have a shaychus to such a great tzaddik, I have to be willing to make certain sacrifices. I have to be willing, the same way I want to attach myself to Hashem, I need to give up certain things that could serve as an impediment to my relationship with Hashem. So he said, when I went for Yechidus the first time with the Baal, I was very worried that my desire for material things would make it difficult for me to the tzaddik. So I made a commitment at that time that I'm going to try to destroy my taiva, shvira sa taiva. So he said, when they brought out that lung, that roasted lung, he said, I had such a taiva for it, like nothing I've had a taiva for since that first Yechidus with the Alter Rebbe. Okay, I've been working on Shviras HaTaiva. I don't understand. Why do I have such a strong taiva for this thing? Like an unusually strong taiva. If it's mutter, I've conquered my taiva for things which are mutter. It's aser. And the Yitzhahara is arousing this different type of taiva against me. So I threw it in the garbage. And then the waiter came out and said, there's a shayla on the lung, don't eat the lung. He said, because I had such a strong taiva, I knew it wasn't right. So they sometimes tell that story to make this point that again, one of his ma'amar. that the early Hasidim made a resolve, made a commitment to give up things which are even mutter. And that's part of, that's certainly, we're talking mostly about the realm of Shmiras HaBris, avoiding that, right? But even in the realm of that which is mutter, again, it has to be done with sensitivity. And therefore, a husband and wife who are permitted to each other, who produce a child together, right? The fact that we were born out of a taiva means this is going to be a strong taiva. Again, different people struggle different ways. And like Rabbi Nachman said, the main reason we came to this world, and I think why the reason that he says that is because the very way in which we came to this world was through this inyan. So therefore, much of our work in this is working to perfect this inyan. Okay, let's go on to the next game, Bazaar. And the way that the advice that I have for you as a way of trying to work on this inyan, hu b'derech mida keneged mida. Again, if everything we've learned so far is that Shmiras HaBris gives chiyus, and a person who wastes seed is a form of misa, and it sucks the life out of a person. So mi nefesh, like I told you yesterday from the Sfas Emes, that Haran, the father of the first Jewish woman, so to speak, Sarah, died al kiddush Hashem. He was thrown into a fiery furnace and did not emerge. The very foundation of the Jewish people is rooted in Mesiras Nefesh. So therefore, when it comes to this inyan, which again is fundamental, is foundational, is yesod, so therefore, the way to defeat it is with what? Is also with a form of Mesiras Nefesh. Self-sacrifice. Kanizkar Le'el. Ma Yavid Inish V'yichya, She'yichya Daika. Like the Gemara with Hamid. Ma Yavid Inish V'yichya. What should a person Yavid? What should a person do in order to live? She'yichya Daika. To really live. Yamis as Atzmo. Kill himself. Yimach. Make sacrifices. Give up your pleasures and your desires for Hashem. Now, however, this is a very lofty thing that we're talking about here. So if you're not going to absorb it in a healthy way, it's going to mean nothing to you. Of Yaakov Avinu, or Rabbeinu HaKadosh, or Eliyahu Malach HaBris, or Yosef HaTzadik, or Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. These are very lofty madrigos. But again, as we emphasized yesterday, it's for sure not an all-or-nothing type of... Every bit of Kedusha matters. The more a person is able to Mekadesh himself in these inyanim, the more he's going to be successful in having a real chayus, a real chiyus in his avodas hakodesh, in his life. So it takes mesiras nefesh, v'yis kadesh, v'yis dachech, v'oz yichya. The more alive he will feel. U'v'sefer hakodesh yismach Moshe, parshas b'shalach. And Rav Moshe Tam the yismach Moshe writes, in the yismach Moshe, parshas b'shalach, he explains a maimer chazal in brachos, ikim b'misosom nikram chayim. I never understood the Maamar Chazal this way until I saw this Yismach Moshe quoted here. What does it mean that tzaddikim in their death are considered alive? Usually we understand that, right? He's still alive. His ashpa is still felt in the world. Of going to visit places where tzaddikim are buried. Everyone's invited. Sign up yet? You signed up? Okay, great. Okay, everyone's invited in January. Footsteps of the tzaddikim. So it's a big inyan. Rav Moshe Wolfson talks about in Parsha Shmini how even the guf of a tzaddik, disconnected from a neshama, can reach even a new madrega. So that's how we usually understand tzaddikim. Even after they're no longer alive, they're still alive in a certain way. But says the Yismach Moshe, tzaddikim, those who have kedusha sab tzaddik, tzaddikim, bimisosam, through their self-sacrifice, they become more alive. You hear? Tzaddikim bimisosam nikram chayim. That the tzaddik who's always looking for ways to remove the impediment between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even that which is mutter. And again, these are madregos. But nimshach alayim oro yisbarach. Through that misa, through killing off my desires inside myself for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nikru chayim v'havein. And then a person is truly chayim. Then a person is truly alive. Okay? Okay, let's see. The next paragraph is sin'af. Don't kill and don't commit adultery. Of course, those are two of the Ten Commandments. Yes.
I was just wondering, very often when the constitutional express is spoken about and getting rid of potential for future life, for
life, yeah.
Very often people argue back that there's no way that sperm is going to live in, like,
Right.
Does Rebbe have like a 8-7 to into like
response
that
to that? It's a good question. I have a thought, but I want to think about it more carefully. But it's a good question. I mean, you're saying scientifically the possibility of that particular sperm producing life, again, depending on different situations. So why is it considered a loss of life if it was, you know, more likely than not going to actually produce another human being? I have a thought, but I want to think about it more. It's a good question. But I think, again, from the Torah perspective, the simple answer is, afal pichein, don't make cheshbonos. Stuchina Rebbe said in his chabur, no matter what understanding you have of chet eitz hadas, the commonality of all of the explanations and what Adam did wrong, even if you could say the greatest and try to lessen the avera and explain why Adam thought he was doing the right thing, the bottom line is, and it's an important point, B'derach Musar, is that Adam Rishon made cheshbonos with the Rabbanu Shalom. And if Hashem said, period. So if Hashem says, don't do this avera, I can make all sorts of cheshbonos, afal pichin. Right? It's not for us to make those types of cheshbonos. That's the bottom line. Okay, let's keep going. I really want to get through this maimer. We find in the writings of the Kohen Gadol Milublin that when the Gemara says in Maseches Makos shebegilad shchichi roitzchim, that in Gilad the Gemara in Makos is talking about Ari Miklat, and the Gemara says Gilad needs an ear Miklat because there's a lot of murderers. Now, what's ironic, and of course the Gemara picks up on it, is the fact that, what do you mean ear Miklat's for someone who kills by accident, right? So you're telling me there's a lot of murderers there? Well, they don't. If you murder someone intentionally, you could already see from that Gemara that if you live in a place where people murder intentionally, it becomes more likely for you to murder by accident. Right? That's what the Gemara is telling us. Why do I need ir miklat for people who murder by accident? In Gilad, a lot of people murder intentionally. So the point is, there's a hashpa, right? There's a hashpa. If people do a certain type of aveira b'mezid, you'll come to do it b'shogeg. That's a very important thing to think about also. Gilad akuva midam, like the pasuk says in Hosea. Uveshchem nami shchichi roitzchem, dechsev derech yiratzchu shchema, shelachei nikvu la'ari mikla. So Shchem and Gilad are two places that had Ari Mikla because there was a potential for murder in those places. Okay. Veshchem v'gilad hem achuzas Ephraim u'menashe b'nei Yosef. What's interesting, says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, is whose territory is Shechem and Gilad? It's the territory of Ephraim. It's the territory of Menasheh, the children of Yosef. And therefore what? V'ha'isa tfuah behem midas ha'achzarios. Kafi ha'yadua, in the writings of the Arizal, shebesfiras ha'yesod yesh harbe gvuros. Interesting that Dafka, the descendants of Yosef, the one who's known as the Tzaddik, the one who's the embodiment of Shmiras Habris, in his territory there's tremendous potential for what? For murder, for death. Of course there is. Because wherever there's tremendous potential for life, tzaddik, chai almin, real life, v'tzaddik b'menoso yechya, that means, ze le'umaz ze, as it says in Kohelet, the opposite counterbalance is potential for tremendous death. And he tells us again, these are deep ideas, that in the writings of the Arizal, yesod has harbe gvuros. Now, Gvura, understood properly, means what? Ezehu Gibor, HaKovesh Es Yisro, right? Which means the Indian of Yesod is going to be a big struggle. It's going to be a central battleground in self-control. Right? I think for many people, the area that, again, that the Torah seems most repressive in is with regard to the sexual norms and standards of the Torah. Right? The fact that the Torah does not allow a person, what do you mean? I'm a normal, healthy, you know, 18-year-old male. Like, what are you asking of me? It's an impossibility. So there's a tremendous amount of drive, of gvura, which could be channeled outwardly, like Esav, the murderer, and the hunter, and the womanizer. That's a part of the reality of Yesod. But Esav gibor, the gvura, could also be hakovesh es Yisrael. Internal strength, true strength, a person who what? Who controls himself. Who's the first person to have a bris milah on the eighth day? Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak's midah is gvura. Yitzchak was tied down at the Akedah. Yitzchak never left Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz HaChaim. Yitzchak is blind, that's right. Shmir Seinayim was not such an issue for Yitzchak. And he can't see. So that's why Yitzchak represents a certain Kedusha. And that's why Yitzchak in the Gemara and Mesach HaShabbos is the one who, in negotiating with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, says, I'm going to be the one to really save Klal Yisrael. But Yitzchak is also the most confusing of the Avos, the one we feel that we know the least. Right? The one that we don't really have a grasp on. The one who doesn't speak very much in the Torah. Kedushas HaPeh and Kedushas HaBris are always connected. The way a person speaks and the way a person acts with their bris milah is very much connected. A person who engages in lewd or coarse conversation will often be the same type of person who engages in lewd or immoral activity. So this inyan of gvura, right, in Yesod, again, as being expressed here through the writings of Rav Tzadok, is that Gilad and Shechem, places that belong to Yosef, have potential for life, and they also have potential for murder. So when the kochos are used properly, tzaddik, kadosh, ki es achzeru al ta'avasam. Because you have to be cruel to yourself. You understand what he's saying? He's using the word cruelty. And he's taking that, he's borrowing that expression from the writings of the Arizal. That the midah of murder is associated with cruelty. You have to be mean to yourself to be a shomer habris. Right? It's cruel. It's unfair. It's not realistic. Right? My non-observant friends are on the secular college campuses partying and being involved with anything but Kedushas HaBris. And now you're telling me I have to be Shomer the Bris. It's a midah of achzarius. It's cruel. It's not fair, and it goes against the way you made me, Hashem. Again, I keep coming back to that vart I told you from Hashem Shner Fal Hirsch last week. When the Nachash says to Chava, why are you listening to that voice of God outside of you, which is telling you don't eat the tree? Trust the voice of God inside of you. God has given you the taiva. So what, he gave you the taiva and doesn't want you to act on it? That's also a voice of God. And you have to be cruel to yourself and deny the desires that are, that in the eyes of the world are perfectly normal and healthy and appropriate. And the Torah is telling you this is such a serious avera. It's very hard. Let me just finish the paragraph. Ki es achzer al ta'avasam, three lines to the bottom, that they have to be cruel to one's taiva. To reject the body, to reject the desire. V'imshichu al atzman kedushas zekenam Yosef atzadik. That Ephraim and Asha, right, have to work hard to bring upon themselves the kedusha of Yosef atzadik, to use this midah of achzarius, not to murder or to kill, certainly not others, and not to be involved in arayos or tuma, which is misa. U'kishesarchu ishtamshu midas achzarius bepashtus lirtsoach v'larog ishes ve'ehu. But of course, when that midah spoils, sarchu means spoils, right? When it rots, when it goes awry, when the midah of achzarios or yesod is perverted and corrupted and not used properly, it turns into murder. Again, both the self-imposed murder of killing yourself spiritually by getting involved in these things, by wasting zera, which Chazal again view as a form of murder. Again, a good question that you raised. And then to the point that you start to kill others. And killing others, again, could also be a spiritual manifestation of harming other people. Right? When you've damaged yourself now in this way, and you've lost your Kedusha, and you've lost your Emunah, so now you see a person who has Emunah or feels Shabbos, and you start to challenge them. And maybe you're going to cause someone else's Emunah to be killed. Okay, turn to the top of the next page. What a beautiful vart. Look at the commandments that appear right next to each other. Lo sirtzach, don't kill. Lo sinaf, don't commit acts of adultery. We look at those as two different realms. But you know what's amazing? You start to think about the big three as a unit. Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayos, and Shvichas Damim. Did you ever think of them as almost one inyan? Look how they all impact each other. Look how a person who's involved, again, in an act of Arayos, is a form of Shvichas Damim, is damaging to one's emuna. Right? It's Mamish, Gilei Arayos, Shvichas Damim, and Avodah Zarah all rolled into one. It's pretty intense. And of course, what do Chazal say is the, so to speak, the fourth on that list, which in some ways is equal to the other three, Lashon Hara. Again, Kedushas HaPeh and Kedushas HaBris being connected to each other. There's a sefer, I told you this once, those who've been around for a while, but there's a sefer called Or HaTzvi. And we find in the Sefer Yetzirah, it talks about Kedushas HaPeh and Kedushas HaBris being connected. The Ramban brings it in Chumash. So the Or HaTzvi brings an amazing remez. I'll just chazer it, especially for those who haven't heard it. Or HaTzvi says, if you think about it, if you look in the writings, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed a bris between man's 10 toes and his 10 fingers. What does that mean? So what Pnimius HaTorah is revealing to us is that, so to speak, you have 10 fingers, 10 toes, a peh, that's the bris halashon as it's called, and then the bris hama'ur, the bris of flesh, which is the bris milah. So the Sefer Or HaTzvi says, interesting. 10 fingers, 10 toes, plus bris peh and bris lashon, that's a total of 22. Interesting, there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And those 22 letters are the building blocks of creation. So which letters correspond to bris milah and to the peh? So the Or HaTzvi says, well, let's count. We start from the toes. We work from the bottom up. So I don't know which foot you start from, the right foot or the left foot. I'm not sure. It does matter. Let's start from the right foot. Okay? So you go across your toes. Alright, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey. In between your two legs is your Bismillah. So Bismillah is Vav. The Os Vav in this Pharmakadoshim is the Os Bris. Right? Then you go to the other foot. Zayin, Ches, Tes, Yud, Chaf. Now you go to the hands. Lamed, Mem, Nun, Samach, Ayin, Pei. The letter Pei corresponds to your Peh. That makes a lot of sense. And Tzadiku, Freshin, Tav. Right? So then he says, so apparently, Peh and Vav, Kedushas HaPeh and Kedushas HaBris, Peh Vav is Gematria Elokim, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name of what? Of Gvura, of restraint. Exactly. A person has to restrain his Peh, a person has to restrain his Bris. There are areas that a person, right, desires to use very freely. Freedom of speech. I want to say whatever I want. But as a Jew, we're a little more cautious about freedom of speech. Right? I should be allowed to express myself sexually however I feel I desire. Again, as a Jew, the Midah of Gvura tells me I have to have self-control and have restraint. So therefore, lo sirtzach v'lo sinaf go hand in hand. Ki al yedei shemishtam shemidas haratzicha linkom biyitzro, to the degree that I slaughter and fight my yitzahara, nimsa shenitzolim milo sirtzach v'lo sinaf gam yachad, that I control my Natiya to murder, and my natiya towards sexually immoral behavior, together. They go hand in hand. Very easy, b'sefer Pesach Eliyahu. And I saw in the sefer Pesach Eliyahu, b'shem harav kadosh mikubrin zatzal, in the name of Rav Moshe of Kubrin, al divrei Eliyahu, that which we find in the writings of Eliyahu, like it says in the introduction to the Tikkuni Zohar, yesod siyuma degufa. Yesod Siyuma Degufa. If you look at the Nusach Svar Sitter at the beginning, there's a passage called Pasach Eliyahu. Eliyahu began and said the following. And it goes through, again, it goes through the different spheros and how they correspond to the body parts. Chesed is the right arm, Gvur is the left arm, Teferis is the body, Netzach and Hod are the legs, Yesod is the Bris Milah, and then it calls it Siyuma Degufa. That's how it refers to it. Literally means the end of the body, the extremity of the body. Right? It's the part that protrudes from the body, your bris milah. But what does it mean on a deeper level? Explains Rav Moshe of Kubrin. What does it mean that yesod is siyuma degufa, is the end of the body? What does that mean? It's the end of the body. It's the extension of the body. What does that mean? Mi sherotza lishmor as a bris kodesh be'emes. If a person wants to guard his bris be'emes, tzorech lasos siyuma shel gashmius haguf. You need to make siyuma de gufa. You need to put an end to your guf. Because the more your guf is in charge and not your neshama, your guf wants pleasure. Your guf wants to eat, and your guf wants to enjoy, and your guf wants to sleep around, and your guf wants taiva. Your guf is interested in as much physical stimulation as it can get. But if you want to have midas yesod, siyuma de gufa. You have to put an end to your guf. Again, there's so much Chanukah Torah here. Guf is gematria Chanukah. Chanukah is being ma'orer, the shemen, which is the neshama, over the guf. The avanim, think about Greek culture, was so much about the guf. The whole drive, as understood again, Alpi Pnimius, the whole Greek Olympics, you know, nudity, sexuality, homosexuality, the whole Indian of homosexuality, Alpi Pnimius, is that it's using this taiva not in a way that's constructive. Two men can't produce a child. So it's just taiva for the sake of taiva. That's how it's understood. And that's so much of what Yavan represents. And that's so much what Chanukah is fighting against. Siyuma de gufa, to put an end to the obsessive culture of worshipping the body, which again was so much a part of that world. V'hainu ke'ein mesiras atzmo lemisa. And again, it's all rooted in this self-sacrifice of killing off one's desires in order to elevate oneself higher. Okay, Chaver, just 5 more minutes. Uvelakute Maran, Kosav Rabbeinu, and Simin Pei, Rabbi Nachman writes, I know it's hot in here, but you know what the Arizal says? The Arizal says that sometimes the same way a body is heated for taiva, the body is heated up when it has strong desires. So the Arizal says when a person goes and bakes matzah, and they're busy, they're working fast, and they're schwitzing to bake the matzah in time. They're standing in front of the hot ovens as they're baking the matzah. So that sweating and that schwitzing is a tikkun for arousing and raising the temperature of the body for taiva. So when we're sitting in a hot room like this is also part of tikkun obris. I'm being serious. I'm being very serious about that. When a person dances, you know, on Simchas Torah, or at a friend's chasana, to be mekayim the mitzvah, so to speak, of giving Simchas Chasana Kala, and you're schwitzing, that's also, it's a tikkun. Any time that we heat the body up for a davar shebekedusha, that's also a very holy thing. So says Rabbi Nachman in Simen Pei, Kosav Rabbeinu, Shemida zu shalimsor al es atzma al kiddush Hashem nimsa afilu ba'apachos shebi Yisrael. That even the lowest Jew, a Jew who's not so spiritually connected in so many other aspects of life, is prepared to die al kiddush Hashem. And history tells the tale. How many Jews proudly went to their death as Jews during the Holocaust? Obviously against their will, but died proudly with Shema Yisrael on their lips. Jews who didn't keep very much. Throughout history, there are countless tales of people who were known to be heretics, but when it came time to dying for being a Jew, they died so proudly as a Jew. So Rabbi Nachman says, this inyan of Mesiras Nefesh, again in a literal sense of being willing to die as a Jew, is found even by the Pachos Shebi Yisrael. That's explicitly stated in the Tanya. It's explicitly stated in the Kedushas Levi and Parshas Yisro. It's explicitly stated in the writings of Rav Chaim Volozhiner on Pirkei Avos, Ruach Chaim. The Tzaddikim say, from the time Avram went into a furnace, it became part of our willingness to die al Kiddush Hashem. You'll say Avram didn't die. Well, guess what? Avram's wife Sarah came from Haran, who did die. So we're prepared not only to in theory die, we're prepared to actually die. And again, tragically, history tells the tale. But what that means is you could also be Moser Nefesh and be alive. Mesiras Nefesh, Kiddush Hashem, everyone thinks Kiddush Hashem means being burnt at the stake for being a Jew or being thrown into a gas chamber, Rachmana Litzlan. Kiddush Hashem also means saying to Yetzer Hara, thanks but no thanks. Mamish Kiddush Hashem. It's Mesiras Nefesh. It's a victory of Lo Sirtzach and Lo Sinaf rolled together. And it's an expression of one's emun, of a tzaddik be'emunaso yecha. Notice the Habakkuk doesn't say tzaddik be'emunaso yecha, he says vit tzaddik. That's the vav of bris milah, that was bris. Vit tzaddik be'emunaso yecha. So every Jew has it within his ability to defeat the Yetzirah. Ah, it's so hard, it's impossible, it's such a struggle. My whole life is a battle, says the Tanya. Right, your whole life is a battle. But you can keep winning those battles. You may never kill your Yetzirah like Avram Avinu, or David HaMelech, but you can continue to fight, and you can win. And it'll be a fight your whole life. But that doesn't mean it's a losing battle. It could be a winning battle. It's a battle. With a tower this kaddish be kedusha shamayla, and to elevate himself with this kedusha. V'nei amasha kosev Rabbeinu sheish b'chol echad mi Yisrael b'chinazu, and that which Rabbi Nachman says that every Jew has it within himself to do this. Limsur nafsho al kiddush Hashem. Ra'isi b'medrash, I found in the medrash. Amar Rav Yakim. Shlosha chatzufim heim. There are three who are chutzpah. A holy chutzpah. Uva umos, amongst the nations of the world, Yisrael. Amongst people, the Jewish people are the most chutzpahdik. But he's talking about an azus de kedusha. An azus de kedusha. A willingness to do impossible things. This also is so much connected to Chanukah. I told you yesterday, Rashi says, Shevet Levi, Baruch Hashem Chelo, Hashem should bless the resources, also means Hashem should bless their chayalim. Hashem should bless the soldiers. A bunch of Beis Medrash guys go out to the battlefield against Yavon, an army of thousands. And a handful, Rashi says, a handful of Chashmonaim have the ability to defeat the Yavonim. How do you do that? How does someone who's physically weaker defeat someone who's bigger? It takes azus. Azus de kedusha. A brazenness. Have a oz kanamer, it says in Pirkei Avos. Be oz like a namer. You know which of the four exiles of Jewish history is compared to a namer? Which of our enemies is compared to a namer? Yavan. Yavan's compared to a namer. Yavan has a certain azus, which means if we're going to defeat Yavan, we have to have a certain azus. A confidence that we can do impossible things. Most people think it's impossible. It's an impossible thing to be Shomer the Bris. It's impossible. Not impossible. It's possible for you to be bigger than your Yetzirah. It's absolutely possible. You know whose yahrzeit is today? Whose yahrzeit is today? No, I usually know the yahrzeit. Whose yahrzeit is today? Today is the yahrzeit of the founder of the Daf Yomi, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, the Lublina Rav, Rav Meir Shapiro. Rav Yehuda Meir Shapiro. Rav Meir Shapiro on Parshas Lech Lecha says, this week's Parsha, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram Avinu, go out and count the stars, your children are going to be like the stars. So Rav Meir Shapiro says, Avram Avinu goes outside and he starts counting. Hashem told him to count the stars. No cheshbonos. God tells you to count the stars, go count the stars. Avram goes out and he starts counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 50,000 stars, 500,000 stars, 5 million stars, 5 billion stars. It's not done yet. And Avram says, this is impossible. And Hashem says, Ko yeh zaracha. So will be your children. So Meir Shapiro says, what does that mean? The Jewish people are willing to try to do impossible things. Just like you, Avram. Not that we're going to be as numerous as the stars. Avram, go outside and count the stars. Says Meir Shapiro, Avram goes outside and starts counting the stars. Avram says, this is impossible, but I'm trying. Hashem says, Koya Zaracha, good. That's going to be the legacy of the Jewish people. The first Jew ever born is born from impossible. Yitzchak. Sarah's laughing. It's not possible. Rav Tzadok and the Chafetz Chaim both right. Why is the first Jew born from a place of impossible? A father who's 100 and a mother who's 90. And together it's 190, which is Gematria Kates, which means Mashiach. Why is the first Jew born from impossibility? Why does the first Jew come from a place of impossible? The answer is because that's who we are. We do impossible things. We're the smallest, tiniest people on planet Earth. We're the most impactful. How is that possible? The answer is it's not possible. I'm a normal, healthy 18, 19, 20-year-old male with a sex drive, and you're asking me to be Shomer the Bris? It's impossible. And the answer is, afal pichein, Jews do impossible things. And the way that we do it is with what? With an azus de kedusha. If Yavan represents that azus, and a brazenness in Tumah, the Chashmonaim, those brave band of fighters, represent an azus de kedusha. And again, like I told you yesterday, that's why Chashayim, Ches, and Shmona, they're all connected to the world of Lamalam and Ateva. A Jew is bound by the rules of Olam Hazeh. Yeah.
It is impossible. Or Chaim Kodesh is willing to concede it's impossible.
It is impossible.
In order to do such a Malam and Ateva, you need to push for something that's Malam and Ateva.
Right.
The only way to beat it is by having such a Torah towards the Malam.
Right, that's right. Hashem gave us the Torah, which is the ultimate Lamalam and Ateva. That's right. And when I attach myself to Torah, like I told you last week from the Rambam, right? Torah is the antidote to this tuma. Like the Rambam says, the end of Hilchos Isurei Bia, the more you attach yourself and fill your mind and heart with Torah, the less space you'll have for this tuma. Yeah. And of course, Chanukah is the fight for Torah Shebaal Peh, which I told you yesterday. Torah Shebaal Peh is dafka the thing that helps to fight in this Inyan. Learn Gemara seriously, and you'll see it'll be easier to have Shemira Sabris. Yes. Okay.
It starts with the story of Abraham and Hashem, and Hashem tells Abraham to go outside the stars. And I can't remember who's quoting Rashi, but it basically was saying conversation between Hashem and Abraham was Abraham was telling Hashem that it's not in the stars for him to have a son, that it's very obvious
right.
That Mazel doesn't say he's
born right.
His son. And Hashem says to him, like, yes, 100%, but I'll
go beyond that. Same it's Tagninus Shalcha. That's right. That's right. Beautiful. Yeah. Right.
It's
a good question. Very good question. Right? It's a great question. On the one end, we're saying that Gvura means Ezu Gibra Kovish is it, so it's all about repress and suppress and control and withdraw, right? But then we're also saying that there is a place to use Gvura in its more simple outward expression. Like I told you, Esav is a Gibor, and Nimrod is a Gibor, but those people are attacking and killing. So it is a little bit of both. One has to go a little bit on the attack towards one's Yetzer Hara, right? Meaning sometimes the Yetzer Hara attacks you, and you're playing defense. Sometimes you have the opportunity to lead the way. If you remember, we learned that Torah one of the first days, right? About Kiteitze lemilchama levecha. Because Ali Shor taught us. Remember, Kiteitze lemilchama levecha. When you go out in battle against your enemy, versus when the milchama comes baartzacha. So yes, there's a time and a place to, you know, kind of bunker down and to say that I'm gonna protect the fort. And then there's a time sometimes where a person, the best way to be to protect oneself is not to be responsive but to be proactive.
Oh, so one's proactive and saying,
I think so.
And the other one's
Yeah.
To the Limur Torah aspect, it's also probably why it's in the kosher, I think, to what Inakta says that Lamed Yod, Lamed and Kaf is
Correct. That's the Rinach I've been alluding to for 2 days, but I don't want to get into Lamed Yod, Lamed Yod Taf. I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's very good stuff. You can give a chabur on it. Okay, let's just finish the paragraph, 2 lines left. So again, amongst the Umos HaOlam, Chutzpah is found by the Jewish people. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Redifa B'Shem Rabbi Ami, Ata Savar Shehu L'Gnai. You might think that Chutzpah is a bad midah, and it can be. Ve'einu El L'Shvachan. But the truth is, if directed in the right way, again, if I'm cruel to my Yetzer Hara, if I'm a murderer of my Yetzer Hara, if I'm a person of Chutzpah, right? If I have a courageous confidence in fighting against Tumah, then it's actually the greatest praise in the world. O Yehudi, O Tzaluf. Right? Am I a Jew or do I burn at the stake? Sometimes you have to make really strong choices to be able to, you know. And again, you have unbelievable stories of courageous Jews who stood up to the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, in that moment, to say with a Aziz de Kedusha, I'm not going to go down in a weak way. I'm going to go down with a courageous Aziz. We perish Hamatnos Kahuna, which is a commentary on the Medrash. The Matnos Kahuna explains, Shehu Oz Kanamer, that a Jew has to be Oz Kanamer, fierce like a leopard. So again, a little bit of a taste of a Hanukkah Torah there. There's a lot more to say about that. But again, there's an Aziz de Kedusha that every one of us has. It's within us. It's not about just, God forbid, dying al Kiddush Hashem in the Holocaust or in the pogroms or the Inquisition, but it's about day in and day out as the world is trying to infiltrate our Kedusha. It's about us having the confidence and the courage to keep fighting. And it will be a battle, and it will be a struggle, but Jews can do impossible things. And even if it means being cruel to one's body, right, but it is within reach for the person who cares and works on himself and wins those battles, and hopefully eventually can become, in the truest sense, a Shomer Abris. All right, so we'll stop here for today. And Yirtzeh Hashem, tomorrow, we'll finally get to finish up the piece and move on to some other inyanim. Okay?